Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. 15 years ago tonight, the original cast of Wicked the Musical, Idina Menzel, Kristen Chenoweth, Joel Grey, Norbert Leo Butz, Christopher Fitzgerald, Carol Shelley, and many others, opened the show on the stage of Broadway's Gershwin Theater for good. Based on the novel of the same name by Gregory Maguire, featuring music by Stephen Schwartz, a book by Winnie Holtzman, and directed by Joe Mantello, Wicked has been dancing through life in New York and all over the world ever since. Kevin Chamberlain is the actor sentimentally filling the robes of the wonderful Wizard of Oz on Broadway as the company celebrates this landmark anniversary. Chamberlain's recent previous Broadway credits include Disaster, The Addams Family, Seussical, and Dirty Blonde. Kevin, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
So what is it like being a part of Wicked?
It's been a pretty wild experience. I have been such a huge fan of the show since it opened 15 years ago, and I saw the original cast and had a lot of good friends in it, Christopher Fitzgerald and Kristen. And so over the years, I would always come back to it. If I was in town, I usually live in Los Angeles, and when I usually had a friend in it, I would come see it again. So over the years, I've seen it probably 3 or 4 times, and it always shocks me at how relevant it is, whatever time it plays in. So, especially right now, playing the wizard, I have found that some of the wizard's lines actually get groans of recognition in this Trumpian world that we live in.
It's so funny that you say that, because I specifically said to you before we started that I wouldn't be like making you talk about politics, but it's just already there, unfortunately. He's not a good dude, the wizard.
No, it's fun to play a sham. He is a sham. And he was thrown into a position that he was in the right time at the right place, and people needed a leader. And he says in the play, before I got here, there was discord and discontent. And I think there's always discord and discontent in the world, and it's the leaders that we choose that really show us who we are. So it will always be relevant, Wicked, and it was, I think, just as relevant today as it was when it opened in 2003.
What do you think it is about the show, apart from its relevance, which is, of course, a huge part of it, that has made it run for so long? Why do you think audiences keep coming back if they're not like you and have a friend in the cast?
I was fortunate to be in New York in the 70s when Annie first hit. And there was something about seeing mothers and daughters coming to the show to see Annie, because there was this powerful female protagonist. This show has that in spades, in that it's really a sisterhood story. It's a friendship story. It's a female power story. It's a goddess story. And it also really plays on our pop cultural references. Although I meet a lot of young girls who have never seen The Wizard of Oz.
What are they doing?
I know. They'll come. I'll ask them about it at the stage door, and they'll say, no, I saw this. Now I want to see the movie. And I said, well, you kind of did it in the wrong way, but I guess each informs the other, right?
Can you imagine seeing The Wizard of Oz second? It would seem so strange, because she's, you know, Elphaba's your girl and Wicked.
Yeah, and it was kind of brilliant the way Gregory Maguire, you obviously see, it's fan fiction, right? You know, in its true sense. And we were just talking about the other day how fan fiction has really, I was trying to think, when was it, was something, I mean, Annie, if you know, someone was a fan of Little Orphan Annie, so that's sort of fan fiction. And you could go back to Shakespeare. He was fans of the mythology and Roman goddesses and gods, as well as historical characters, and he got into their heads and took some liberties, and that's what Mr. Maguire did with these iconic Frank L. Baum characters.
I understand you have a special connection to the Gershwin Theater.
When I was in high school, we came up on a class trip, and we saw Peter Pan with Sandy Duncan at the Lunt Fontan, and Sweeney Todd at the what was called the Eurus Theater then. And I remember sitting in the mezzanine. It was not a very good seat. But Sweeney Todd was such a huge, it was like an iron foundry, the set. And it was fascinating to see it from up there. And I was so enthralled, I actually had a headache by the end of the play because I knew right then and there what I wanted to do was to be up on that stage. And it put a fire under my butt and said, this is, however I do it, I'm going to get there. And it took me 40 years, and this is my 10th Broadway show, and I actually got to perform on the LaFontaine stage in Adam's Family. So that day, back in 1979, was pretty, it foreshadowed a lot for my career.
It's a very important day in the life. Who was in Sweeney when you saw it?
I had just missed Len Carew, so I saw George Hearn and Angela Lansbury.
Have you ever met or worked with either of them?
I have met Angela Lansbury, and I met her at a Tony Award luncheon, and I went up and said, excuse me, Miss Lansbury, and she turns and she goes, Kevin Chamberlain, and I just died.
I would faint, yeah.
You know my name.
Do you know how she'd learned it, what she'd seen you in, or what had, how she knew?
She is a Broadway fan. She goes to see shows, and that's her. She is from this world. And this is a very small world, as you know. It's about 10 or 11 blocks.
Yeah.
And I played downtown. I played 41st Street at the Niederlander, and now I'm uptown at the Gershwin, I think. And I made my debut at Lincoln Center. So I've done everything from the most north to the most south theater. And now I'm working my way through all the theaters in between.
What was it like when you first took the stage at Lincoln Center? What was it like to perform there?
It was a new musical. It was called My Favorite Year, and it was an incredible cast. You know, people like Rob Ashford was in the chorus, Michael McGraw, Alan Morocca. It was my first chorus gig. I remember it being, there were a lot of costume changes.
Right.
And my parents came. And the day my parents came to the performance, I had forgotten in one of my costume changes to put my suspenders up over my shoulders because I was so nervous, and it was a cop uniform. So I put my pants on, left my suspenders down, put the cop coat over it, and then bolted out to do Manhattan, the Manhattan number. And in the middle of the number, my pants are falling down. And so afterwards, I was like, Mom, Dad, did you notice? They were like, yes, we saw you trying to hold your pants up.
It wasn't a choice. It wasn't a bit. It was a mistake.
So literally, my pants fell down on my Broadway debut.
Oh, no. Moving from, like, the first time you moved from ensemble to a lead role or a featured role, is the experience of doing the show very different depending on which position you're in?
Yes. I mean, my hats are off to the ensembles of Broadway because they work the hardest and get the least amount of accolades. I think if you start in the chorus, you appreciate the chorus so much more. My next job after that was in Triumph of Love, where there was no chorus. It was just seven principals, and you change costumes a lot less.
Yeah.
But that's a really, really nice luxury. But I think it really prepares you. I think everyone should start out in the chorus first.
How do you, having seen a number of people play The Wizard and Wicked, enter it, does Joe Mantello come back and talk to you about the role as you replace? How do you make The Wizard your own? And what is the process by which you are put in?
Yeah, I've talked to Joe a little about it, and his associate director, Lisa. I see him as a man thrown, a very nice man, thrown into a sort of a dictatorship position. And playing a sham is very interesting because you have to believe what you're doing until it all starts to crumble. Elphaba is the first person that really confronts him and actually says, you have no power. That's one of the hardest moments in the show, and I've seen numerous wizards, how they react to her line, "You have no power." And the word that the wizard says is, "Exactly." It's so loaded. He has been called, his shit has been called on, right? And so he has to act accordingly. And he, by reaching out to her and say, "You can be me. I don't really want to do this anymore. We could do this together because you have power and I have the knowledge." He's an opportunist when he sees this. So it's really fun to play. It's very diabolical. He is a very sweet man and knows how to put that sweetness on to cover up his evil dealings. And he definitely is not an animal person.
No. Have you had more than one Madame Morrible, or has Isabel been your Morrible the whole time?
I've had four Elphabas.
Okay.
Which is interesting because we've had Jackie Burns and her understudy, Marianne Torres. And now we have a new understudy who just went on. I'd never met her before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then we have Jessica Vosk, the incredible Jessica Vosk, who is just a powerhouse.
Doing the show 8 times a week, sometimes more if there's a holiday, etc. How do you keep it fresh? How do you approach it every night and give every audience your all?
I was just talking to Jason Graw, who is doing The Wizard on the Road right now, his secrets. And it's funny because when you have a friend in the audience, it's a different show than when you're just doing the show. You don't know anyone out there. It's more abstract. You can be more spontaneous. And it actually is kind of freeing, and you can actually act and not be self-conscious. When I have a lot of friends in the audience, which happens a lot in New York, my nerves get to me, and by the end of the performance, I'm exhausted. The other day, I had my graduating high school class. I had 125 of my graduates from my Morristown High School down in South Jersey. They all came to the show, and I could not have been more nervous.
Oh, gosh.
And I felt like I had run a marathon, and the wizard's only on stage for about 19 minutes. But when my nerves get me, it's really exhausting. Vocally, it's pretty easy. So, you know, it's just you have to keep your vocal instrument warmed up. And physically, it's a little difficult because we do perform on a rake. On a raked stage, so you really have to stretch and warm up. But it's so funny. I prefer doing the show when I don't know anyone in the audience.
That is funny. I never thought about that before. It's been really cool to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, I had a blast.
Kevin Chamberlain plays the wizard in Wicked the Musical, which opened on Broadway 15 years ago today. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.